You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using code THPN during signup. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players. So what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Hope you know it was trade deadline the other day. Not a ton of big moves, but there's a lot to break down still. We are going to assess the GMs, who won, who lost, all that, much, much more. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts, now open in Edmonton, Alberta on St. Albert Trail Northwest. Cody Jansen, Adam Urban-Trail with you here. How are you? Happy Wednesday. Big show on the way. We're going to top Caps in about 40 minutes. Samantha Pell. Right from Washington. Then in about 20 minutes time, let's talk a little Oilers. We got Brendan Clack coming on here. NHL update. One of the best insiders in the game. One of the best follows as well on Twitter. Let's snap it over to Saskatchewan. Adam Urban-Trout just woke up from his nap. What's up, buddy? How's it going?
It's been a week and a half already, and it's Wednesday. I had a accounting assignment, the worst assignment I'll ever do in my entire life. Like, budgets got to balance, 19 different things to do. Everything's got to be linked. It's terrible. And then I got a final tomorrow. I got a final Friday. I got tea times Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So we're good to go.
Tough life there, eh?
I know.
Tea times. Man. Oh, you got a Membi though this year too. So have you swung the sticks yet or not?
I said I was just going to be like a Rover guy. And then I was like, screw it. Like, I got a course like just over the hill by my house. So I got to do that. So yeah, I went to the dome twice and then I went to an actual driving range. The course doesn't open fully till Friday. So I'll
is
be
the dome good or no. I've always drove past and it kind of looks a little sketchy, but
yeah, it's not in a great area for sure. it's only like 120 yards and
it looks like if they put a Top Golf in LaRange.
Yeah, it's not great. It's only like 120 yards, and half the time you get put on like the top platform, so it plays less than that. So it's not great, but it is what it is, and I'm excited to go golfing. I got new clubs, and we're good to go.
Before we talk some trades, it was okay. Actually, no. On a scale of 0 to 10, what do you think of the trade deadline day?
I don't even watch it anymore. Just like, it's not, there's nothing, like you can just find out on Twitter, like whatever. And do I really need to see the Leafs talk about Riley Nash and Ben Hutton? Like there, and even the biggest trades, they don't really come through, like the Washington one, which we'll get to later, but they don't really come through till later. So,
I mean, didn't answer my question at all, but like zero.
It's like a
10.
One, it's like a two.
Yeah, no, I was literally going to say it's a three because half of it's just like projecting the Olympic roster. And it's just like, why do we need 10-hour shows on this anymore? It's all
TSN
just being broke
face
on Twitter.
Mashups or something like that. Like,
Yeah, that got old. I was about to like start muting everyone on Twitter. I was like, okay, I've seen enough of these. Before we get to it, though, Lord Co Auto Parts, household name across Western Canada since 1974, proudly Canadian owned and operated now, finally in Edmonton, carrying much more than just car parts, a newest store on St. Albert Trail Northwest, huge selection of aftermarket auto parts and accessories, and a dedicated truck center. Whether you're looking for high-performance parts, shop equipment, paint, body supplies, outdoor gear, whatever you need to get your RV on the road or boat on the water, Lord Co's got you covered. Lord Co Auto Parts, 7 days a week. Visit them today for an exceptional customer experience or learn more about their products and services at lordco.com. Proud presenting sponsor of World Hockey Report. Let's talk trade deadlines. Adam, I'm going to get you to fire through the list here. You just let me know what you want to talk about. Well, I'll break it down. Maybe you give your two cents as well.
Yeah, so I think we could just start from our last show, really. The Islanders, Kyle Palmieri, Travis Zajac, they also made a couple smaller moves. I don't know. I think that was it, Braden Coburn. So Kyle Palmieri, Travis Zajac, just sticking with the Islanders vibe. They traded a first and a fourth and got those two. What do you got there?
I was a little shocked to see Zajac go. I don't know. That name really just resonates the devils with me. Like, has he not been there his whole career?
Yeah.
Yeah. See? So like I was a little shocked there. Palmieri, I don't know, everyone was kind of talking about him. Lou pulls a trigger. We'll see if he provides more offense. I think he's a lot better defensively than Taylor Hall. Not to take a jab at Hall already, but like I feel like they're good fits for the Isles. I feel like, you know, your bet with Rich looks a lot worse now. I feel, you know, I feel that this was a good move for them. Does it really make them Stanley Cup contenders? I don't know. Do I think they're going to go on another run? Probably, just how they're built.
Yeah, I kind of said it, like it's good enough to give them a round, probably two. But at the end of the day, I don't think it does it. You need top end talent, and Islanders fans will come at you if you say that they don't have top end talent outside Barzal, who isn't even really a top 25 player yet. So, I mean, it's, you're going to get it from Islanders fans, but once again, it's top six, middle six guys, probably second, third line guys that you get. And the best was the one guy had a tweet. He's like, Matt Barzal, Brock Nelson, Casey Cizikas, Travis Zajac, and someone else. And it was like, really? Like, that's like, is that supposed to scare people these days? So, yeah, that's it on the Islanders. For the Devils, they did well. Like, you get a one and a four for trading guys who aren't even there anymore. So there's that. Chicago did a lot of stuff. They got Brett Connolly, Henrik Borgstrom. Who else did they? Adam Gaudette. So Chicago's kind of the team. Like, how many times have they done this now where it's like, okay, we'll take on a bad contract as long as you give us like a prospect who you think is struggling. They did it with Dylan Strome, Alex Nylander, and now they do it with Borgstrom. And I still think Brett Connolly has something to give too.
You used to be really harsh on Stan too. Now all of a sudden you seem like you're softening up a little bit there. I don't know. They're building a good young team. I still think that they're in the right direction. As much as people want to rip on them, they're allowing Kane, Taves, I know, you know, Seabrook, Keith, they're on their last.
They're gambling now.
Yeah, but it's more so they're letting them use their leadership to build some of these young guys. You got a lot of good young prospects there. You're bringing in guys who have, you know, been high picks, some underperforming guys, some guys who haven't reached their full potential. And, you know, you're kind of taking a little bit of a risk on them, which seems to work for the most part in Chicago because of the leaders that are around.
Yeah, and I mean, you put a guy like Adam Gaudette with Patrick Kane or Henrik Borgstrom with Patrick Kane, it's usually worked out pretty well for the player. So I honestly don't mind what Chicago's been doing. I wasn't crazy about some of the things they do, just where it's like any bottom six guy, like we'll try and get any goalie, we'll try to get. But Stan Bowman said he thought they'd be good and he didn't sign Corey Crawford. So
good has Little Hags been?
Yeah,
in Chicago.
Brandon Hagel.
Goodness.
They're letting their kids play, and it's worked out. It's something I'm sure a lot of people would like to see in Western Canada, mainly where you're from. But for Florida, they had a good deadline too. They get Lucas Walmark, they get Brandon Montour, they get Sam Bennett, they signed Nikita Gusev. So I honestly like what Florida's done. It sucks losing Ekblad, but they've done pretty well for themselves.
I do think that they had a pretty good haul. Do I think they overpaid on Sam Bennett?
Yeah, a little bit. 2 seconds for a guy with like 20 points a year.
But also, when I think of Florida in the playoffs, what do they need? I think they need a Sam Bennett, right? They don't have any grit. They're such a skilled, finesse team. There's nothing to them. Brandon Montour could be a minus 15 by the end of the year here. Like, I mean, let's not talk about David Savard starting Boston last night. Was he a dash four?
Yeah, or Nashville.
Or yeah, against Nashville.
Right? Yeah.
So minus four there against Nash to start. I don't know. Like, Montour is a high risk, okay reward defenseman. A lot of potential. I don't think he's figured out the defensive part of his game, and I don't think he will, to be blunt about it. Sam Bennett brings that playoff style of hockey that I think Q's going to like.
Yeah.
It comes down to goaltending. What a save by Driedger. That's save of the year, and you didn't even tweet it out. You tweeted it out 19 times in the first month, and now we just pumped the brakes on it.
You scared me off. Yeah, just moving along. The Leafs, they made moves.
They won.
Yeah,
they won the day. They won the past 24 hours.
Riley Nash for nothing. He's probably not going to be ready till playoffs. Nick Foligno and Stefan Nason for a first and a fourth and another fourth. David Rittich for a three. And then Ben Hutton for a fifth. And then they got Samela for Barabanov. But no, I'm going to give Kyle Dubas a lot of credit. And in the past, I think that looking at Dubas, like, this is prime spot for him getting Michael Granlund, or him getting, I don't know, Taylor Hall. Like, just those. Oh, nice. The Jays just gave up a home run. For those guys like Kyle Dubas, it's like, okay, like, how much skill can you have? And Nick Foligno will help them. He can play anywhere in their lineup, and they've gotten good stuff from Galchenyuk. But, you know, good for Kyle Dubas getting Nick Foligno. He saw what Tampa did, getting a seventh defenseman in Ben Hutton. Nick Foligno is a guy you'd win with.
That's exactly it. And that's the biggest move. Riddick's good goaltending depth. I'll give him that in a time where you need three goaltenders who can play. But Foligno's a difference maker. And here's why Dubas wins the day. When you look at Columbus and their playoff success, who do you think about? It's the ones who led them. They beat Toronto last year in the bubble. Does it count as much? I don't care. It still counts. When they swept Tampa, who was right the heart of it? Foligno. I mean, that is a guy who wins hockey games. You want to talk about leadership. You want to talk about, oh, Simmons this, Thornton that. Nick Foligno, in the past 2-3 years, has been that leader who takes teams to the next step. He's going, I'm fully confident right now, Toronto's going to win the North.
Yeah.
That's as simple as that because of these additions. And I think Nick Foligno is, I mean, that's a stud.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, like, good for Dubas for seeing that. Tampa gets Barkley Goodrow and Pat Maroon and Blake Coleman in the past, and he gets Nick Foligno, who offensively, he only has 7 goals this year, but I think he does a lot more than that.
Here's a quote that I heard. I think it was Brian Lawton. I hate to steal something without a source, but he says, you don't bring in Nick Foligno for his great plays, you bring him for his good plays, because he's consistent with those.
Yeah,
and I think that one stuck, where you're just like, he's consistently good.
You know what you're getting. Colorado was kind of disappointing to me. They got Patrick Nemeth, they got Devin Dubnyk, they got Carl Soderberg back. I just, like,
Dubnyk was a great addition because Grubauer has been a proven band-aid. But I also think GMs, you know, they might hear Joe Sakic calling and they're kind of like, this guy's gonna hose me. I mean, he's done it before. Like, hey, like, I can't help this team out. They got a lot of cap space. You know, why give them rentals this year so they can build a wagon?
Yeah, I don't know. Colorado, I'm just looking at their stats here.
It was a lackluster day for them.
Outside of their top 6 or 7 forwards, they don't really get a whole lot. JT Compher hasn't had a great year. Tyson Jost hasn't had a great year. They get nothing from Belmar. They get nothing from Matt Calvert. Like, I would have liked to see them get a little bit more. Like, a guy who I think would have been good in a lot of places is Ryan Dezingle, and they didn't move him. But, you know, for Colorado, they have the top-end talent, so we'll see there. Tampa, David Savard, you kind of mentioned that. Look, they're in a window where they're like, screw the draft. We got a couple of years here. It's going to be real ugly in three or four years, but you get a top four D-man, a number five D-man, it probably helps you.
That's fair. He's a good depth piece. I think Tampa, in general, their biggest addition is going to be Kucherov coming off LTIR, and they're still going to be the Cup favorites. I think they are the Cup favorites, so does it really surprise me? No, not that much. Okay, quickly, though, we are getting into our NHL news for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Family-owned Canadian company changing the hockey stick game. Pro Rock offers a top-of-the-line twig at a fraction of the cost. Not even close. I've used them for a while now. I'll never go back to one of the big companies. Never again. Pro Rock, lighter, more balanced, at the best price point when it comes to top-of-the-line sticks. Check them out today, prorock.com. Let's talk Mantha quickly. I mean, we are going to get to it a little bit more. Caps writer Samantha Pell later on in the show, but Stevie, why? I mean, just open your purse.
Yeah. It seemed like it was kind of underachieving player for underachieving player. If you look at it with Vrana, just what Friedman was saying in Washington, they were frustrated by him a lot of the time. Like, they felt he had more to give and he didn't give it. They also get cost certain Mantha's contracts longer, and Vrana's going to be an RFA. So they know what they're going to pay, and that's important there. Also with Richard Ponick, it was basically him in a second-round pick just to get rid of him. I think that's safe to say. And for Washington, kind of like Tampa, kind of like Toronto, they're like, you know what, screw it. We don't really care about the draft. We don't care about picks, whatever. We'll just we'll go for it, and why not right now?
Also, some news we probably – could have mentioned, didn't mention Bishop Radulov, done for the season for the Stars. No surprise. I mean, I think that's a team that's kind of, they need 6 months to rest up after a long playoff run.
Yeah, and I guess Sagan still hasn't played. Let's move on to Boston. Mike Riley, Curtis Lazar, Taylor Hall out, Anders Bjork second and a third. What do you got there? Because I honestly loved it for Boston. You get a guy who hasn't played well. He basically bullied his way to Boston, which is his right. But for Taylor Hall, if he's the guy, you're in trouble. If he's even the second guy, you're in trouble. But in Boston, he's kind of the fourth guy, and he's playing with Krejci, who doesn't really need the puck, and Hall can do his thing and add secondary scoring. Like, I still don't think he's a real smart player who sees the ice well, but you don't need that from him. You need him to go and kind of be Taylor Hall, go get the puck, use your speed. And I really like Mike Riley as a player, and I think Curtis Lazar is a good, honest fourth liner.
Here's the thing, and I'll make this quick. Look at every single team in the NHL. Look at their second line. Who wouldn't want a Taylor Hall on your second line for $4 million? I mean, that's an absolute steal what you're getting him for. I don't care. If he's a rental, that's even better because you're not obligated to re-sign him the next year. I mean, this is a depth addition. This is Boston saying, hey, if we get healthy in time for the playoffs, we're going on a little bit of a run with this guy. Great. If not, no harm, no foul. You know, we gave up Bjork in a second. I think, 20% of second rounders actually play in the NHL?
Yeah,
or let 20% play more than 50 games, something like that. I don't know the stat. It's like there's an 80% chance you just gave up an American League player in Anders Bjork for Taylor Hall. You know, I get it. You got other additions, Lazar, Riley, whatever. It's a great move by Boston.
Yeah, and it sounds like this is kind of like a trial period for him to be there for more than just a couple months. Just before we go to break, Jeff Carter got traded. Like, I honestly thought he was kind of like not untradeable, but it seemed like he could have
went. I thought he had his retirement house in LA already.
Yeah, like it's a cup for a couple of years there. I was like, oh, maybe Jeff Carter gets traded. Oh wait, he doesn't want to get traded. And it's like he's nixed a couple trades in the past where he's like, I'm not doing that. But
he's kind of boys with Crosby though, isn't he?
Yeah, they played together, I think, 05 like, World Juniors and Olympics.
Like, they've played national team and stuff. They kind of, yeah, you know, that's a good bond where maybe Carter says, hey, you know what? I mean, I'm probably done here soon. Like, you know what? I'll come play in Pitt with you. I'd love it. Like, go have some fun. maybe go and make a little bit of a run. If not, whatever. They got to play together. I'm sure it's something special for them.
And as Brian Burke said, he's like, we're the Pittsburgh Penguins. We have our history here. We don't have to kiss anyone's ass to come play here, which is a great quote. And I honestly thought the price was kind of cheap. Like, a conditional 3 and 4 and also LA retaining salary is a pretty good deal, like, for a kind of a second, third line guy at this point. But I mean, why not?
That's an interesting one. We'll get to more NHL trades later for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Let's take a break, though. After the break, Brendan Clack, we're going to dive into, I got to ask him about Kevin Adams. Oh, boy, we didn't get to rip him at all. And also the Oilers. I mean, did they make the right moves or not? We'll ask. Maybe he's Kulikov enough. Brendan Clack coming up after the break. Cody Jansen, Adam Ermintrout with you. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Coato. Trade deadline day. Yep, that's past. We're going to break it down here with Brendan Clack right away. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts, the one-stop shop for quality RV, car, truck, or marine parts and accessories. Please be joined now. Brendan Clack, NHL expert, fantasy writer. Follow him on Twitter at NHL Update. Buddy, let's jump right into it because I got to ask you for your honest opinion here. Is Kevin Adams a bad GM? I mean, what they got in return for some of their players, that doesn't pass the smell test here. And I get it, Taylor Hall got to choose a little bit, but that's a bad return.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. It's really tough because if Taylor Hall had this much autonomy and if it was only Boston or only, you know, Vegas, Islanders, if it was only between three teams, then you're Kevin Adams, your hands are tied. Like, you're kind of screwed. But at the same time, a second round pick, that's it for Taylor Hall, ex Hart Trophy winner? Are you kidding me? Like, not that, just aside too, like, just looking at all of the moves Kevin Adams made in general, Eric Staal did not pan out. Even if you're trading Eric Staal away, it's a disappointment if his season ends up being a third and a fifth round pick return. You look at a guy on the blue line, like, they didn't trade Rasmus Ristolainen. I thought he had a decent start to his year, but it's kind of the same thing over and over again with this guy, where it's like, he's all right. Oh, he's defensively deficient. He gets COVID, very unfortunate. He really struggled with that, but they didn't make any changes to the blue line at all, really. And that's why Buffalo is still in the position they're in. It's not a surprise that they have to sell guys off. The D didn't change. Rasmus Dahlin's not having a great season. Their backup goaltending is awful. Like, Linus Ullmark is good, but he gets hurt a lot. And Carter Hutton still having major issues on the season. And no one else they put in is doing anything. I mean, Dustin Tokarski had to play.
Don't disrespect Ticker like that on the pod.
Hey, Dustin Tokarski has had many good moments as a goaltender.
09 World Juniors.
You know, the Buffalo Sabres just weren't a team that was still built to do anything, even with Taylor Hall. And now you get this return that's really sad sack. And you hear about Jack Eichel being out. And it's really hard for me to be happy about their future, even. Like, I don't even know if Dylan Cousins will pan out at this point, because with Buffalo's history of their prospects, what do you expect?
I got one here for you. Anaheim. Like, I tweeted out, I was like, I don't know what the hell they're doing there. Like, you'd think that Josh Manson, like, they're expecting like an Erik Karlsson type return for Josh Manson and Rickard Rakell. I just don't get it, because you got these guys who are almost 30, might actually be 30, and you got two young studs in Zegras and Drysdale, but you're holding on to these guys so you can finish 25th instead of 29th. Like, I don't really get Anaheim's view of the trade deadline.
I think that for Bob Murray, it's all about pride. It's about, we're a team that can win. We have these pieces. I still believe in this group, yada, yada, yada. But the problem is
he's senile then.
I mean, they're not responding to it at all. And he keeps going and doing the same thing over and over and over. Like, how do you not move Rickard Rakell? He's only got a year left on his deal. I was hearing that Rakell, the offers were something like your top prospect in a first round pick, not just a random prospect, not just a package deal. No, they were asking teams for guys like Dylan Holloway in Edmonton. Like, how can you make that trade? If you're the Oilers, you just can't, because Rakell is not a top line guy at this moment. He's an inconsistent second line guy. They really overvalue their pieces. Josh Manson was out a big portion of the year. Another guy who's going to be a UFA soon. I don't know what you expect to get from him. Maybe they looked at the David Savard deal and they thought, well, that was a lot. Oh my goodness. Maybe we can get the same thing. But I don't know. I think that the Anaheim Ducks are a bit of a directionless team. Yes, I love Zegras. Yes, I love Drysdale. but I agree in which they should be selling more pieces off. I also thought that Nicola Delorier thing was super weird, how he was basically traded and then not all of a sudden, and he's in the lineup that day and he fights in the first period. Like, I feel like, I don't know how that leaked out. But overall, I think Anaheim is a bit of a misdirection team right now.
That's a nice way to put it. Brendan Clack here, follow him on Twitter at NHL Update. I want you to grade Ken Holland here for us. I mean, the Oilers, they pretty much held tight. They got Kulikov. Give me your thoughts on Kulikov as well. But what do you think of Ken Holland's performance on trade deadline day?
Well, I saw a lot of angry fans. And I get that because you have Connor McDavid and you have Leon Draisaitl. You should be going for it every single year. You have these two guys that are the two of the best three players in the league. They should be able to, you know, make big runs every single year. Pittsburgh goes for it every year with Crosby and Malkin. The Oilers should do the same. But then you look at the market and you go, what could have they really done here? I mean, Mike Hoffman didn't move. The rumor was they wanted a top prospect, like a Raphael Lavoie type of thing, and a second round pick. Is that worth it for the Oilers? I don't know. Mike Hoffman's pretty inconsistent and was really bad in the last 15 games. Who else is available? Well, Jamie Oleksiak got pulled off the market because Dallas wanted to keep him. So they moved on to the next guy on their list, which was Dmitry Kulikov, a guy who's had really good analytics this year as a defensive defenseman. Maybe that's a guy that can help steady Tyson Barrie if they have to separate the Nurse and Barrie pairing. Maybe that's a guy that teams up with Adam Larson. It's not a big addition. It's not bad. I just think that Ken Holland didn't have a lot of players he could really go get. I mean, Scott Laudon re-signed. That's a guy the Oilers could have used as a third-line center. Now, this summer, they have a ton of cap space. I'm worried about Ken Holland overspending from his days in Detroit when it was just money flying out the window. There could be some bad contracts coming into Edmonton. That's when you might want to get mad at the Oilers, is how they handle all this coming going forward. It's hard for me to get mad at them for the deadline, though.
Spend it on Philip Grubauer.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree on Edmonton with the cap space. And you look at the division next year, pretty weak division projected to be. I want to ask you about Winnipeg. They pretty much had Jordy Benn in their back pocket until like the deadline time, basically. And I was like, okay, this guy can't even make the Canucks defense. Why is he going to make a playoff team's defense? So what are your thoughts on Winnipeg? Because as you kind of said with Edmonton, like they're definitely running out of time. Blake Wheeler's not getting younger. Hellebuck's on a great contract and he's not getting younger. Just your thoughts on kind of the disappointment of Winnipeg.
Well, I think the Winnipeg Jets made their big move already. They got Pierre-Luc Dubois, and he's only 22 years old, and Dubois is going to be one of those pieces that they grow and have as a centerman in their organization for the future. But the deadline was definitely disappointing for them because you thought, okay, this is a team that might add that defenseman. They might add Josh Manson. They might add Jamie Oleksiak, someone tough, someone mean, someone that can bolster the top four. Jordy Benn does not do anything for me. That doesn't move a needle. And that, for the record, a lot of these deadline deals end up not moving a needle at all. And if you're Winnipeg, you do maybe look at it and go, well, the Oilers didn't really do anything. We had Kulikov last year and look where that brought us. So maybe that doesn't matter in terms of the first round. But later on, when the Jets have to play Toronto or Montreal, or if the Oilers have to play Toronto and Montreal, I don't think those teams match up 5-on-5 with Toronto or Montreal. I think that Toronto especially, with the added depth that they've had and their defensive game being better sometimes. They still have lapses. It's not perfect. But look at the game against Calgary. I think you guys were the ones that highlighted the Austin Matthews back check. So, I mean, it's not like Toronto's perfect defensively, but those two teams are really good at 5-on-5. The Oilers and the Jets are still kind of a team, or both two teams actually, that are better off the rush, on the power play. They need to change that 5-on-5 style and get more pieces in that are two-way guys. I don't think that was available at the deadline. I think that's going to be a big priority this summer, especially the Jets having to re-sign potentially Adam Lowry and what that contract might look like. It could be gross. I like Adam Lowry, but that type of player does not age well.
I got one more for you here before we let you go, Brandon. Joe Sakic. I know that they made moves. I know they brought back Soderberg. They bring in Dubnyk. I feel like this was his opportunity to make a big splash with the Avs. Why do you think that nothing major happened in Denver?
Well, I tweeted it out earlier, and I said the top three scorers since March 1st in the entire NHL are Landeskog, MacKinnon, and Rantanen. This line has been unbelievable. You have Nikushkin, Tyson Jost, and Donskoy. That line has been mixed around a bit lately, but they were putting up incredible possession numbers and goals for goals against numbers of 5-on-5 as well. Like, I looked at their team and I thought, what does Colorado really need? I mean, they have two great top lines. Their bottom lines are keeping possession. They don't necessarily have to score. They just have to keep the puck in the other end. They have maybe the best top four in the NHL with Cale Makar, Sam Girard, Ryan Graves, and Devin Toews, who I think has been an excellent acquisition. Grubauer's playing great. So all they really needed for me was a backup goalie. Devin Dumick, a bit disappointing. Like, he's had a rough year. But at the same time, I do feel more comfortable with Devin Dubnyk if there's an injury versus a guy like Michael Hutchinson last year. And in this case, it would have been Jonas Johansson, who John Vogel in Buffalo called the worst goalie he's ever seen. I'm not sure if that's an endorsement for if Grubauer goes down for your team. But I like Colorado. Their possession is 58.5% at 5-on-5. They don't need any additions. They actually brought back guys that they had before, almost to say, we owed you this. Here you go, Patrick Nemeth. We owed you this cup. Carl Soderberg, we owed you this cup. I don't mind that they didn't do anything.
Adam, yeah. You got anything else?
No, I'm all good. Clack, thanks for helping on, man.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. We appreciate it.
No worries.
Right there, Brendan Clack. Follow him on Twitter at NHL Update. Great insight. That Vogel comment gets me every time.
Yeah.
When he goes, the worst goalie I've ever seen. He didn't stop anything in practice.
No, that's a comment and a half. Yeah, just to touch on the Oilers thing, I kind of tweeted it out about, you look at their division next year and their cap space and probably a James Neal buyout, which will also save them some money. Like, so you got Calgary and Vancouver. Neither of those teams will be better. They actually probably will be worse, with Vancouver having all these extensions kicking in. They're going to lose Sutter and Edler, and Calgary, who knows what the hell is going to go on there. The California team, San Jose, LA, Anaheim, not there yet. Seattle, an expansion team. And for all the people who are like, oh, I think they'll be good, look at what Vegas did. No, that's not going to happen. Like, I think Ron Francis even said it, or Elliot kind of reported it. He's like, look, GMs are already saying, like, this is nothing like Vegas. It's already started with the, hey, we'll take this if you give us this. And there's not going to be any Shea Theodore, Riley Smith, Jonathan Marsh, so situations. They're going to be not great. And then you got Vegas, who should be good again. And looking at Edmonton, yeah, like, next year's the year to go for it. The year after, keep on going. But yeah, I thought it was kind of ridiculous, people being like, well, the Oilers should have traded a one for Taylor Hall, and not worth it. And you look at Toronto, like, they're so much better and deeper than anybody else. I don't know if it's really worth it.
I still feel that Ken Holland left a lot to be desired, in a sense of, I heard a really good, I can't remember who actually brought it up. Maybe I brought it up on the show last week too. Was like, hey, if the Oilers actually go for it this year and win the North Division, imagine how much more they're going to make off tickets next year. It doesn't matter if it's season tickets, booths, whatever, regular tickets. Like, dude, there's going to be so much hype, or there would be so much hype, where if they lose out in the first round, real disappointing. If they lose out to the Leafs, I mean, people at Edmonton, you know them, they're just going to complain, like, oh, the media just talks about the Leafs all the time. Well, they're the better team. But I don't know. I feel like there's something left to be desired, where you can move out of Chris Russell contract if you package him to the right person. You can pay Detroit to take on a contract, or I don't know. I feel like everything had its price this year, and they were kind of like, well, we're happy with our third and fourth round picks. We'll keep them. You know, we've got a couple of okay prospects who probably won't be more than good AHL players, but you never know. We'll keep them. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah. Like, I see it from both sides, I guess. I mean, Edmonton, they play Winnipeg really well, and I think they could beat Winnipeg. Toronto, I think they'd have a real issue with, and you're banking on McDavid and Draisaitl to really carry the load, and Mike Smith to continue to be Mike Smith of 6 years ago.
Even if you play Montreal, what if your goaltending sucks and Carey Price gets hot? What if they lock down it defensively like they did against Pittsburgh? You can't roll the dice against a team like Montreal, just being like, well, if McDavid and Draisaitl carry us, we'll win. Because who's better, Montreal this year or Chicago last year?
Montreal's a lot deeper.
Yeah, Montreal's way better. And if they couldn't get past Chicago, I don't think the Oilers have done enough to improve their team. I don't think Tyson Barrie moves the needle. Not in a playoff series. So I don't know. I think Ken Holland failed this trade deadline. And I mean, let's just hope it doesn't bite him in the ass with the first round playoff exit.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of ridiculous with Edmonton how you can go from Tyler Ennis, James Neal, Dominic Cahoon being healthy scratches to playing top 6 minutes like every other game. So that's one thing I don't get. The Anaheim thing, I really don't understand. Like, Bob Murray thinks that his players are something special, and the old directional, the no plan plan, as Ray Ferraro would say, it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. And Bob Murray just doing whatever he can, I guess, to hold on to whatever he thinks he's holding on to. But the Gibson trade would be a draft trade, but now it's like, okay, if Josh Manson takes a step back, which I think he has, and he's been hurt and he's played that style a long time.
Same with Raquel.
Yeah, it's,
they're not taking Raquel, steps forward.
Yeah, Raquel just got hurt. And I mean, if you call up Edmonton, you say, hey, a first round pick, that's it. Like, why can't you do that? You get a first round pick who's going to align better with your stars, which is pretty much what Detroit did. And I mean, like, it worked out well for both teams. So,
no kidding. All right. One team that wasn't afraid to hold on to things, the Washington Capitals. Fire sale. We're going to talk about that. Washington Post reporter Samantha Pell coming up here after the break. It's Cody James and Adam Ehrmantraut with you. World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co Auto Parts. Time to move to D.C. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co Auto Parts. Learn more at LordCo.com or follow at Lord Co Parts on social media. Our next guest from the Washington Post, Samantha Pell, brought to you by our good friends at Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. The weather's getting nicer out there and you need something to sip on while swinging the sticks, lighting up the barbecue, or watching some playoff hockey. Refreshingly different Coco Vodka Rum coming up with new cans in Canada, and flavors are next. Enjoy the Coco life with us. High quality ingredients, no fillers, no beer bloat, no cheap liquor. Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. You won't be disappointed. Time to talk some Washington Capitals. And hey, they made a splash on trade deadline day. Samantha Pell joins us from the Washington Post beat writer there. I want to ask you this. Do you think they overpaid for Anthony Mantha? Because that's kind of the narrative that's going around right now. So I want to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, you know, that is a really good first question. I think for the Capitals perspective, no, I don't think they overpaid for him. I think, you know, one of the two reasons, I think you can look at the trade in kind of two parts, right? I think it was kind of dumping Richard Panik and his salary plus a pick. And then it was also, you know, getting Mantha for Verona in a pick. So no, I don't think they overpaid. I think this is kind of exactly what the Capitals needed and wanted to do with the organization. I think you could kind of tell there late that Verona really wasn't, you know, fitting in the body language. You know, Red is frustrated. You know, Brian McClellan mentioned there was a bit of a tug of war between him and a couple coaching staff during his time in Washington. So it just seemed like from all sides, this was kind of his time to go. And they wanted to go out and kind of make their team better. And they felt like Mantha was the perfect guy to do it. So it was a lot. It was, you know, a couple high draft picks, but I think overall this worked out for both sides.
And Mantha had a great debut yesterday. Just to touch on the Verona for Mantha, is it safe to say that the cost certainty of Mantha's contract played a factor here, and also it just seemed like underachieving Mantha for underachieving Verona, and maybe it works out for both teams here?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Jacob Verano is said to be a restricted free agent in the offseason with Arbrights, and he signed a 2-year bridge deal a couple of years ago. It was 2 years for 6.7. So he was due for a pretty big raise, and I'm not sure if the Capitals really had the room to make that possible just based on his production. So I think this cost certainty definitely helped with that, and the Capitals really feel like Mantha is going to be a really good player who's currently in his prime right now.
When you take a look at this Capitals team, and I mean, as they build for a playoff run here, is goaltending the clear question mark? Because for me, it is. Where I'm going, hey, I don't know if these guys have the experience or right now have the drive to take a team to a conference final, to a Stanley Cup final. That's where my question mark's at.
Goaltending is definitely the biggest question mark here in Washington. Yeah, you're right. Both of these guys have absolutely zero playoff experience. Ilya Samsonov actually hasn't even started more than 2 consecutive games in his career. So we've never even seen him in a playoff stretch. So things could get a bit interesting as we head, you know, into the postseason here. But yeah, I mean, you know, Samsonov had to deal with a positive COVID test early in the season, kind of derailed his year. He was also not available in the bubble for the postseason last year because of an upper body injury that he suffered kind of off ice. So he's had a rough go of things in the last, I would say, year and a half or so. And Vitek Vanacek, a rookie, has really stepped up and, you know, been there. But yeah, I mean, I think the Capitals feel strong enough and confident enough in their goalies to not go out and get a veteran guy at the deadline. So I think that kind of spoke volumes throughout the organization.
Fun fact, I got to hop in here. There was that one point in time in my career where I was compared to Vitek Vanacek, and it's in a Czech article. I've got proof of that.
I love that.
One time.
Send it over.
Yeah, Samantha. So as per usual, Ovechkin's on one of his crazy runs here. He kind of has been the last month. But he doesn't have a contract for next year. Is it just kind of within Washington? It's like nobody's really worried. It's like, okay, he'll get his contract eventually. We'll worry about that. Like, there's no threat of him leaving. Just what are your thoughts on when he signs and maybe the dollar figure also?
Yeah, I think with Alex Ovechkin, it's pretty much been status quo this entire season. He went into the year saying both sides were pretty much okay not having a contract in hand. They felt like it was a matter of when, not if. And Brian McClellan, I believe, said about a month ago that it was just about finding the right number and term that were comfortable for both sides. I think this Mantha deal also maybe gave them a little bit more cap flexibility in that sense, just knowing that they were going to have to sign Ovechkin to an extension and also Ilya Samsonov. So, yeah, here in Washington, it's pretty calm as of right now. Obviously, you know, when the season ends, people might be a little bit worried about him hitting the free agency market. But both sides have made it pretty clear that Alex wants to stay and the Capitals will do, I'm sure, anything to keep him in Washington.
What's the number?
Number, I would say 10 mil, maybe a little bit over. But I think Alex knows that this team always really plays close to the cap. And if he wants to, you know, have other pieces around him to build up and, you know, go out and try to continue another cup run, I think he needs to know that it can't be, you know, completely excessive. But I would say around what he's getting right now, just a little bit of a raise.
Yeah, I'm sure he really needs that money there. Hey, there's one more player I want to ask about, kind of a veteran presence they brought in with Craig Anderson too, and I know it's, you know, been up and down. I think there's been a couple of injuries there obviously, but what has he been like? I mean, you get to watch practices and see that and stuff. What's he been like for a couple of those young goaltenders like Vanacek, Samsonov, who, you know, I really feel a veteran presence as a goaltender is so important nowadays.
Definitely. I think he's a really good role model. I think, honestly, the Capitals are pretty excited about having a guy like Henrik Lundqvist in the room early on in the season. You know, they thought that he would really be a great kind of mentor to Samsonov and Vanacek. And, you know, when he was unable to play this season due to his open heart surgery, I think left a little bit of a hole there. And I think Craig Anderson has filled in pretty nicely. Obviously, he only got in, you know, one game, but he's still with the guys. He's still on the taxi squad. It seems like even today it was an optional practice and he was out there. It looked like he was laughing, having fun, joking back and forth with Daniel Sprong. So it seems like the guys like him. I think it's just hard for him. I don't believe his family's here. I think they're still in Ottawa. So it's a tough season all around for a lot of these guys. But I think overall, just another good veteran in the room.
One last one here for you, Samantha. Of the four teams likely to make the playoffs in the East, Washington, Islanders, Pittsburgh, Boston, which team would scare Washington the most?
The New York Islanders, for sure. I think they should scare a lot of people there in the East. I think, you know, Pittsburgh might end up on top just because of the kind of the back half of their schedule here and the way they're looking and looking better and better each week. But I think how the Islanders play, obviously you have a Barry Trotz there behind the bench who the Capitals know. So I think just defensively, their structure, the players that they added at the deadline, I think it'd be really, really interesting to see them in a first round matchup and probably a team that the Caps want to avoid at least till the second.
I'll lose $100 if they make the conference finals with a former Islander. So we're cheering against them.
Samantha, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you hopping on World Hockey Report today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Samantha Pell right there from the Washington Post Capitals beat reporter. Go follow her on Twitter. Great work. Great articles as well. Awesome coverage. I mean, I find that the Caps coverage is honestly some of the best. And I love their TV broadcast too, like top to bottom. I think they've got it made in DC there.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising too, because every place, and just looking at like guys to get on the show, you're like, okay, there's one or two. It's like an athletic and kind of like a team guy, but Washington has six or seven people who, yeah. I mean, cover the team, and obviously the Ovechkin era has clearly done some damage there, and in a positive way, of course. But the cup run and
yeah, good damage. The type of like out of the vehicles.
Yeah, the cup run and all that have done a good job, and I still, that Trotz thing still kind of pisses me off. How it's just like, okay, he won a cup for us, but we're gonna give Todd Reardon the job because we think he's ready. Like you just had a guy win the cup for you, and he goes to the division rival, and I think getting Laviolette back in there is really good. I do think that Reardon, he's a good guy, but guys, you can't have the
good core guys don't always make good coaches.
Yeah, like you can't always have the core kind of walk all over you there. And I mean, there's definitely a lot of strong voices with Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, I think Backstrom's quieter. But with Ovechkin, you need a guy, not to put him in his place, but you need a coach with some accountability. And Laviolette's definitely done that. And you can kind of see that by the Vrana trade.
I still don't think Mantha puts them ahead of the Islanders, though. I'm sorry.
And as much,
we fight with Islanders fans daily on Twitter. But again, I still don't think that Washington has enough juice to get past them.
Here, I'll ask you this. Who's the best center Anthony Mantha's ever played with? Because he might have caught Datsyuk on the back end or whatever. But I mean, Larkin's more of just like a speed number two guy. So I think...
Larkin's the number one. Larkin's the low number one. He's good.
Because Netsov and Ovechkin seem to be a duo here with Wilson on the right side, but you give a guy like Mantha, Nick Backstrom passing him the puck, I mean, the opportunities are endless. And for Mantha, going back to Valdor, the 1 year he had 81 goals in 81 games, like one of the most insane junior seasons that would rival like Emerson Edom or something like that. But yeah, I mean, he can
Emerson
score.
Edom. That's a guy who should get on the show.
He can score. It's hard to do. And I think he's a bit of an upgrade on Vrana. And they also got Michael Raffel, too, who's like a good, honest, like he's better than Richard Panik.
I think Raffel still brings a little bit more of a physical side, obviously, which something the Caps can use. Okay, let's... Yeah, we got time. Let's talk about some of the games that have happened here recently. You got Lucic with his 1,000th game, picks up an apple in a fight in that first period. Riddick takes the L against Calgary. What was your thoughts on the Leafs Flames last night?
Yeah, well, Lucic can still play. Like, it's not his fault he got that contract. It's whoever paid him the contract. You can't control that, and he can still play. He's had a great year. Like, he's a third line player making probably too much money, but. I mean, he's got 17 points in 42 games. That's pretty freaking good. And I'm sure Edmonton would rather that than whatever James Neal's giving them right now, which is nothing. But no, I mean, good for him by all accounts. Like, you see all his former teammates posting, and guys aren't doing that if you're a complete asshat in the dressing room. So obviously a well-respected guy, and to play 1,000 games of that style, plus all the playoff games he's played is really incredible. So, I mean,
dude, funniest thing I saw today. I hate to cut you off. So, I mean, like, you know, like the minor leagues in the States, like the Fed and like the ESPN and stuff.
Oh, gosh.
So, my buddy sent me a screenshot today, and some kid played like his 100th game or 200th game. And like one of his opponents brought him like a $20 bottle of wine. Yeah, and there's like this huge, like, 3-page essay on like, so proud to get you. I'm sorry, I hate to cut you off. What a story, though. People are outrageous. But 1,000 games in the show is nuts. Like, dude, if you actually sit back and think about it, and this is why I feel I respect guys like Lucic and honestly anyone who gets that mark, 1,000 games is crazy in the National League, dude. Like, to play one is cool. To play 1,000, dude, you're something special.
Yeah, and he's kind of like told the story a couple times about how he almost got sent back to junior.
Wanted to quit, didn't he?
Yeah, he's like playing junior B in BC, and then at the Memorial Cup, I remember it was Vancouver Medicine Hat in the finals in Vancouver, and he was just something else there, and obviously that put him on the map. And I mean, good for him. You root for a guy like that, and you hope that he can stay in the league as long as he can. So good for him. I thought Riddick played well for the Leafs. He's definitely a bit of a snap show still. Like you can just tell that he
wears his emotion. He's a fine backup third goalie, though. I think he's a very capable, you know, backup third goalie. Look.
But the Leafs trading a third round pick for a third round goalie probably isn't good about the health with Freddie Anderson.
Yeah, it's a tough one to say the least. Okay, we already said Savard -4. That's a tough start for him. Did you get to catch any of Hall in or against Buffalo?
I didn't. I saw a couple shifts just on Twitter and things he did, and I was texting with a buddy who's a big Bruins fan, and this is Taylor Hall to a T. He goes, he makes a couple plays where he just throws the puck and kind of hopes that somebody's there, and I think that's how he's always been going back to Edmonton. As we said at the start of the show, he's an individual contractor, right? Where you can't, you're not going to play him with like in Edmonton, him and McDavid did not work together. Him and Draisaitl barely worked together because Draisaitl thought almost too fast for him. But if he goes like the best guy he played with in New Jersey, like Travis Zajac or something like that. And he had his best years there because he was kind of able to have free reign to do what he wants. You don't really have to involve your teammates. And on Boston's second line with Krejci and Smith, I mean, they're both good players. But I think that Hall would have more free reign to do that than had he been playing with Eichel or something like that.
I just wanted to see Hall back in Edmonton just for the story, just for the jersey. Just want to see that. All right, we got a couple of things to get to here, Adam. Who are we going to bench today for our friends at Quack Stats, the most advanced player tracking technology? Follow them today on Instagram at @Quack_stats. Who are you sitting?
I think I had a good one, but I forgot it. I'll just go with Bob Murray because I think that he's just been absolutely ridiculous. Like I think he had a quote like, Elliot reported this on his podcast. He's like, Anaheim was telling teams, you know what? You can call on Josh Manson, but you're not going to like the prices. And it's just, I think he's past his time in Anaheim. I'll say that.
That's fair. I'm going to bench Ken Holland just because I think the fans in Edmonton deserve better. I honestly think that the fact that their only move was Kulikov is a little pathetic. Alrighty, better than I... Brought to you by mybookie.ag. Use promo code 120zsports, all caps, no spaces. And mybookie.ag, they're going to match your first deposit 50%. Who you got? Because I'm going, this is Minnesota. They're playing an afternoon game. I like Minnesota on the puck line against Arizona +140.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'll take Montreal on the puck line. Like Jacob Markstrom's going to go back to back in Cali. He played really well last night, but going back to back, Montreal, beat Toronto the other day. I think that they're starting to turn things around, and yeah, Montreal puck line.
Also follow Philly Pete. I like to do that where like you see guys who are like winning bets and stuff and you're just like, wow, consistently they're good. But I'm like, no, I'm smarter than them. I'm just going to do my own thing. I just lose money. So I don't know. Follow Philly Pete. Shout out to him. Also don't forget teamed up with the folks at the Hockey Podcast Network to produce the pods, so download, rate, subscribe, wherever you get your podcasts. Adam, any last thoughts here?
No, it's stretch time. It's hard to believe there's only like 14 games left. I tweeted
I'm so sick of regular season hockey. I just want to get to the playoffs.
It's like, okay, Edmonton, Calgary again. It's just like, okay, let's get rid of this. I kind of tweeted this out. Might have been a bit of a hot take, but if NHL writers can go to games, why can't, like, if Connor McDavid was living with two people or whatever, why can't those two people go to a game and sit in a 19,000 seat arena? I don't get that one in Canada, but obviously a lot of things in Canada don't make sense. So
full barns, you just can't even imagine it. I don't know. Let's just hope they got full barns for World Juniors.
Craven, that's all got canceled again.
Yeah. Craven, BBJ.
Eric Church has come to Saskatoon in like October. I'm like, what the hell is he thinking? Like, good luck with that.
I don't know. I don't get it. Alrighty. That's going to do it. Huge thanks. So Brendan Clack, Samantha Pell, for hopping on the show here. Download the podcast, of course, wherever you get your podcast. A lot of trade deadline talk today. Thanks to our producer, James Sutherland, Jeff Beck over at 12 Ounce Sports. For Adam Irwintrout, myself, Cody Jansen, thank you so long. World Hockey Report back next week, same time, same place. Till then, everyone be kind, be better.